December in the calendar in the year of 2023. And this is our first podcast of the month of December of 2023. It's snowing outside, however, it's somewhat warm inside here in the Tom Green Podcast and Tom Green Podcast Studios. And once again, we're talking some Detroit sports as always. Where do we get started this week? I mean, a lot has happened over the last 8 days in Detroit sports, and there are definitely a few topics to talk about. But where do we get started first? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the Detroit Red Wings. And it's because of a major signing a few days ago, and that is 35-year-old Patrick Kane signs with the Detroit Red Wings. And I saw some of the memes on Twitter and Facebook that Patrick Kane is taking the original six tour. Well, it kind of feels like that is the case because, yes, he was with Chicago for all those years. I still remember, and I think all Detroit Red Wings fans will remember, calling him Patrick effing Kane and Jonathan effing Taves with that lineup that won two Stanley Cups and did a lot of great things in the Windy City. But now Kane is in Detroit, and what does that tell me about the Detroit Red Wings? Well, I'll answer that for you. I honestly think that this Detroit Red Wings team may have listened to this podcast, and I do not exaggerate that, because the Red Wings have beaten, since Sweden, the Red Wings have defeated the New Jersey Devils, defeated the Boston Bruins, defeated the Minnesota Wild, defeated the Chicago Blackhawks, lost to the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden, 82-game season, you're going to lose. You're going to win, you're going to lose. And right now the Wings stand at 12-7-3, 27 points, a tie for third in the Atlantic Division. Which, 22 games into the season, aren't we very optimistic about this team? If not, you should be. Because this team is scoring goals now. They're starting to outshoot their opponents. Red Wings hockey is becoming exciting again. Look at some stats from in 22 games played. Oh, a few guys have played all of them, Alex DeBrincat being one of them. 12 goals, 9 assists. Dylan Larkin with 13 assists. When you have a 1-2 punch like that, Larkin complimenting pound-for-pound assists as DeBrincat has had goals. And, of course, time on ice per game. Dylan Larkin with, no surprise, almost 20 minutes. DeBrincat with nearly 18. Jake Wallman with over 20 minutes. Mo Sider with 22 minutes. Shouldn't be a surprise. Those are your stars. This team has something to play for. And of course, right now, it's just the playoffs. We're still not necessarily looking at Stanley Cup or even the Eastern Conference Finals. But still, you're looking at a playoff appearance for this team. And it will be interesting to see how Patrick Kane fits into this team, as he still hasn't logged any ice time yet in Detroit, but he will probably by the time the next podcast comes out, which, of course, we will have a Wings Sabres preview in a couple of days, so maybe not necessarily that quickly, but quickly. And it will be interesting to see if they can keep this goal-scoring pace up, because it has been exciting to watch the Red Wings They've scored 20 goals in the last 5 games. When you average 4 goals a game, you are at least 7 times out of 10 going to win. And that's a pretty damn good percentage in the National Hockey League. If you're looking at the Boston Bruins, I believe, have won 8 out of 10 games just about throughout the entirety of the season. And they had the highest amount of points ever recorded in a National Hockey League season. Let's forget about the playoffs for them, but just saying, if you can average 7 out of 10 wins, and scoring 4 goals a game can do that, then you're a good team. And I believe this team is taking that step with Patrick Kane. And it will be interesting to see how he fits in the lineup. Anything can happen, of course. Anything can happen. He might not fit, who knows. But if Patrick Kane can fit into this lineup, and I think he will, this team could take the next step towards past the first round of the postseason. Speaking of a team that will not make it past the first round of the postseason for at least the next 5 years, and I'm not exaggerating about it, the Detroit Pistons. I'm not going to say much. I'm not going to rant big time until they win a game. And it may be time, it may have already been time to rant. I mean, Mike Vellini has already done his rant. We heard it. He called the Pistons organization a clown show. I tend to second that. It's getting to the point now in Detroit, and I don't even need to throw any stats out there because you know what? They don't matter. You've lost 16 straight. You didn't win a game in the entire month of November. The Texas Rangers won a game in November. Game 5 of the World Series. And the Detroit Pistons did not win a game in November. In 16 appearances. 16! This is historically bad. It is getting bad to the point where possibly the NBA needs to do something. And that has been done before in the modern era. 2014, I believe, around the time David Stern was handing off the keys of the NBA to Adam Silver, the NBA hired a general manager for the Philadelphia 76ers just to help them. And right now, the Pistons are in that boat. They are that stinking bad. And you cannot give me a reason to support this team. Of course, I'm a Detroit fan, so I have to. But there is no reason fathomable to buy a ticket to watch this product because it's trash. I'm calling it what it is. This product is trash. I saw a meme about Frank Reich, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, achieving some more gray hairs in the last 10 games. It will be interesting to see how Monty Williams does with this squad. I mean, Monty Williams is not the problem. And I would like to speak on behalf of the city of Detroit for Monty Williams. I'm sorry. I seriously am. I am sorry that you have to lead this sorry program right now and to try to win a game. Because remember when I called the loss against the Bucks unacceptable? They still have not won a game since. Remember the loss against the Nuggets? No Jokic, no Malone. They lost that game too. And that was equally as unacceptable because of the circumstances. They have not won a game since. Remember when I talked about how this team was 2-1 and maybe winning 30 games-ish? They have not won a game since. So the NBA may very well have to step in. And I will be the first to say it if it has not been said yet. Tom Gores needs to sell this team. If you're Tom Gores and you're listening to this podcast, you have an obligation, and that is to look at selling this team. Because this product is trash, and I will not watch it, even when they win. I'll rant about it if they win, but you know what? It's not worth watching. Why should I watch it? You tell me, Tom Gores. Tom Gores, you tell me. I dropped the mic. I guess moving to Michigan basketball so that we don't have a huge overlap here. The Wolverines played in the battle for Atlantis. They lost two. They beat Stanford. And to be completely honest, I've watched this team a bit. They can score, but they can't really defend all that well. And honestly, they look kind of flat. And the record says it too. 4-3, and these aren't high prolific teams they've beaten. UNC Asheville should beat them in the NCAA tournament. Youngstown State would be as bad as NJIT if they lost that. St. John's, nice win at Madison Square Garden over a Rick Pitino-led team that's getting on its feet. Okay, fine, good win. Long Beach State losing to them. God forbid people were able to see that because it was on Big Ten Plus. Losing to Memphis, I mean, you made that respectable because that was a blowout at some point and you still made it a four-point game. Okay, props to you, but you still lost to Penny Hardaway. Beating Stanford, meh. Stanford basketball hasn't been relevant in the past 5 to 8 years. And Texas Tech losing they're not what they were with Moretti in that national championship squad, but still. This team is flat, is what it's telling me. The next week, they start conference play. They've got Oregon, who will soon be a conference opponent, at deep in the woods in that weird-looking court. Home to Indiana, then at Iowa. I mean, meh. You've got Florida coming. Okay. Okay, opponent. Whatever. But still, this team looks flat. Not garbage. Flat. Phil Martelli's a good coach. Juwan Howard now kind of is sort of handing over the reins to Martelli because of his heart procedure. He has taken the bench once again, but allowing Martelli to still kind of run the show. Martelli's a good coach, but all in all, this team is just flat. It's about as flat as that Diet Coke that's been in my fridge for a week. Just flat. I mean, it's still carbonated. It'll serve you from point A to point B, but it's flat. Moving on, let's move to the football team. Another year, another victory over Ohio State. And thank God that happened. Once again, Ryan Day was born on third base. And no one will convince me otherwise of that. 3 consecutive years. I mean, if you look past Ohio State, Ryan Day has done good things at Ohio State. Fine, they're beating the teams they should, as they have been since before the Hoke and Rich Rod years at Michigan. Okay, but they're not beating Michigan, and who knows when they're going to get back to the Big Ten title game, Ohio State. I hope never, but that's just me. Next year could be very much different because they're getting rid of the East and West divisions, but Michigan definitely proved themselves. Sharon Moore definitely proved himself as a head coach in case Jim Harbaugh decides to go to greener pastures, if he thinks that. Sharon Moore has proved himself as a college football coach, in my opinion. And this team is going to take the next step. Because this is a major conference championship game, I have to give it its 15 minutes or seconds of fame. But let me tell you, Michigan better not fall asleep in this game, or else they might lose to Iowa. But the writing's on the wall if we look at it. Iowa's first half point total is over under a half point. Could almost be the easiest bet in sports. But when I say that, it's probably not going to happen. And I hope that's the case. But Iowa's defense has proven itself to be good. I mean, that defense has kept Iowa in all these games and has propelled Iowa to the Big Ten title game, because her offense certainly hasn't. I still remember watching a Pittsburgh Steelers clip of Chris Boswell celebrating a win a few weeks ago, and Matt Canada was going to celebrate with him, and Boswell pretty much told him, "This ain't you, though." And that's kind of what the defense should say to the Iowa offense is, "Yeah, we're going to the Big Ten title game, but not you." Cade McNamara is trying to tell him all the secrets, and so what? So be it. I mean, Cade McNamara knows a lot about the Michigan Wolverines. Oh well, that's what happens. Michigan 31, Iowa 7. I'll courtesy give Iowa a touchdown just because they'll probably score it in the later quarters when the second string is out, but Michigan should cruise to their third consecutive Big Ten title. Nothing's telling me different, and if it did tell me different, God forbid that would happen. But Michigan should win this 31-7. Should guarantee themselves a playoff spot. And I honestly think if they lose this game, they should have a playoff spot. But because of how chaotic this Big Ten is, I would definitely not want to chance that. So Michigan, just win this game. Just win, baby. Lions. Last point. Lions going to the Superdome to face the New Orleans Saints. last week kind of proved to you, like I'd said against the Bears, that when you're taking an NFL field, you're playing an NFL team. And Green Bay played well. It's more of hats off to Green Bay. They split Detroit this year, and I kind of thought there would be a split somewhere, or actually two splits with Green Bay, or excuse me, Chicago and Minnesota. I thought they would sweep Green Bay at the start of the year, but that didn't come to fruition. So you got to give it to them. First play of the game, they throw a long deep pass to Watson, and it gets completed, and that kind of set the tone right there. So that's kind of, I guess, kind of the playbook for teams that are looking to upset Detroit, and that's kind of what Detroit has to figure out right now, is that they have established themselves as a good team in this league. They now have to establish themselves as though a team that can fend off the hunted. And if they can't do that, they might not make the playoffs. This is a good example here of a game against the New Orleans Saints. At the start of the season, I predicted this game to be a loss. We had a win that I didn't expect, which was at Kansas City. Now we had a loss that I did not expect, which was home to Green Bay. So if they happen to lose this game, Detroit will still be kind of where I think they should be. But this is a game you want to win to get yourself back on track. And it's in the dome. The dome's going to be loud. It's going to be crazy out in there. But Detroit looks like a better team right now. Let's look at the injury reports as of Thursday. Anzalone and Ragnow both did not practice. Hendon Hooker was activated. And I do not think he will see playing time this season, but it will be good to get him on the practice squad and get him reps. He was a full participant in practice Thursday. So was Jonah Jackson, Melifonwu, David Montgomery, and Tracy Walker all were full participants in practice. On the Saints side, you have Cameron Jordan, Marcus May, Kenre Miller, and Rashid Shaheed, and Pete Werner all did not practice. Kicker Blake Group, center Eric McCoy, Chris Olave, wide receiver, and offensive tackle Ryan Ramczyk all left practice. So analysis on this game is don't let the Superdome noise get to you, because I think Detroit is a better team than the New Orleans Saints. If they beat the Saints, they will have beaten every team in the NFC South, and they will have done so pretty handily, in my opinion. Because if we remember the Falcons game, that was a game where old Lions teams probably make that too interesting to cope. They won that game. Didn't worry too much about it. Carolina, after a little bit of a hiccup to start, took care of business. Tampa, a little more interesting as if it was in Tampa, but got the win. In this case, I think I'm going to continue with that script and say that it will be a little bit more interesting than we would like, but I think the Lions will get a victory here. 28-17. They are susceptible to giving up points, and we have seen that in the past couple of weeks, this defense. They may have been cursed a little bit by Tony Romo with saying that Aaron Glenn is a good head coaching candidate. Where do I see that? I don't really see that too much, but okay. But right now we ride with AG and we'll see what happens. Lions 28, Saints 17. Lions get the win that I did not expect for them to get. That said, hopefully we'll win a third consecutive Big Ten championship for the Michigan Wolverines. Next week we'll have a Wings Sabres preview for you. I have a guest lined up for that. Should be an interesting time, as well as a Lions-Bears preview, because now the schedule tends to soften. Well, maybe not soften, but but get lighter a little bit as we get towards the new year and the holiday season. So with that all said, enjoy the weekend, and if you're getting some snow wherever you're at, be safe out on the roads.